of Tahrir al-Sham, Salafist jihadi organization. And here we have to remind Dr. Mohsen that he broke contact with both ISIS well, and Al-Qaeda.
That's we have to
so now
find
he's presenting
out.
Himself well, in another form.
That's what we have to find out. These teachings, these orientations coming from Turks and from the Americans in order to say what, well, these are not terrorists, and they changed their suit.
Yeah, he decided to take a new direction.
What is this direction? We don't know.
Yes.
We don't know what kind of state will stay. What kind of state they will establish in order to make changes. There are no changes except, as I said, that they said Bashar al-Assad, President Bashar al-Assad. They want to topple Bashar al-Assad. They want to remove Bashar al-Assad. That's something required by Erdogan and the Israelis. Because
so
and,
one
the
of the
Emirates,
basic
and the
reasons,
Emirates.
One of the basic reasons could be the support, the massive that, support from outside neighboring countries, for example, because they were enhanced and because they were sent all the weapons and they were trained, because at least the, most of the reports coming in, they were highlighting that these groups or different factions under the name of the opposition, Dr. Mohsen, they have been trained for 6 months.
They were given
sophisticated weapons, and they were only waiting for the right time
They were trained about at least from 2008, because they started at 2011. In order to topple the regime, because the regime, President Bashar al-Assad said no to cut the relationship between Syria and the resistance and Iran. That's his fault, as they say, between brackets, underlying this word. That's not a fault, because he is keen to see the movements, the resistance, the access of resistance, moving towards doing something against Israel and against the Americans in Iraq and in Syria. That is his problem. And they wanna go into a kind of a new rapprochement, a new understanding, and a new relations with the Israelis, with Netanyahu, because the pressure of the American administrations, let's to say, before, during the Obama's time, and then Reagan, Trump and Biden and all these, they tried to push the Arabs into naturalization with this usurpation, with this occupation in Palestine. But Bashar al-Assad, President Assad, refused to do so. So they have pressure. They have boycotted. They have besieged. They have they've tried to emblemish and distort his picture in the media. And they were able to do so. Some Arabs paid the money in order and enabled these media in order to distort the picture of Bashar al-Assad and the axis of resistance. And they succeeded in doing so until Erdogan said it clearly. We have the right to be in Aleppo, because Aleppo and Syria was under the Ottoman Empire.
Yes.
And it's part of the Ottoman Empire. And also the north of Syria. So they protected these groups. They protected these groups according to the Astana Accord track. They took a step that they wanna disarm these groups, and they were not sincere.
Okay.
They were actually lying
okay.
until the last during the war in Lebanon, in order to weaken the resistance in Lebanon, especially in Lebanon, and also in Palestine, in Gaza. They asked President Assad that you should not arm or let or facilitate the way in order to pass the arm to Hezbollah and to the resistance in Gaza. And I guess he refused, of course he refused, to cut this relationship. And there are pressures from the NATO and from the Americans and from the Israelis, because the Turks, they have not done nothing for the Palestinian issue.
But then, Dr.
So
Hussein,
we have to look at this point for two reasons. The first reason, that the way the Turks dealt with the regime in order to have some municipalities under their control and to prevent the Kurds from constituting an entity for them, and also to facilitate the way for the Israelis. Because look what has happened: the Turks from the north and the Israelis from the south. And these are invading the southern part, believing in their right to defend themselves. And also the Turks also invading the north till now, till Damascus.
Yes.
And I guess this, as you said at the end of your question, Syria is not in the safe track. It's not going to be a state. They want one thing, either the hegemony or the chaos.
Okay, but then how do you explain the fact that the Syrian troops and also members of different security agencies withdrew from the city with zero resistance, Dr. Mohsen?
I interpret that as well, it has been said, no blood shed.
Yes.
It has been said, it's no blood shed in Syria, and that's what the Iranians and the Russians and also President Assad want to do. That also the army, they don't wanna go into blood bath, as they say.
They wanted a smooth transition
in order to protect all the factions, all the sects in Syria, the Alawites, the Druze, the Shiites, and also the sacred places. That's important. But I guess now there is instable situation in Syria. The situation will unsettle until God's will take place in Syria, and until the situation in the region reach a certain kind of deal between brackets, also
okay.
Deal. Well, is this deal close? Are we approaching a new stage or a new phase in the conflict between the axis of resistance? Some people would say, well, there are no more axis of resistance. I would say the axis of resistance is in the minds and in the hearts and the emotions of all the people who want to liberate Palestine.
Yes.
If we don't find Palestine in this revolution, that means we don't find solution.
Okay, to stress more on the fact that you're highlighting that there is no bloodshed and it was an agreement among the government that there is no bloodshed. Also, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov pointed out that former President Bashar al-Assad left the presidential post and Syria after negotiations with Syrian conflict participants, giving instructions to transfer power peacefully, as you highlighted, calling on all parties to refrain from violence and resolve problems smoothly and politically, with zero, and that's why we haven't seen any resistance. It was a previous agreement between two sides. How important was that position or was that decision? That's not easy to make.
That's true. The issue is not power of the army or the opposition parties aided and supplied and trained by the Turks. The issue is political. The issue also is cultural. The issue is doctrinal. And the Syrian regime get used and cultivated in terms of conflict that they are enemies to this occupation of Palestine. They are enemies to the Israelis and to the Americans and to NATO. And this new wave of what so-called Arab Spring, we have to re-listen to this word, because from the its initiation, from the outset, they have conspired against the throngs, against the masses in the Arab world. Well, let's use them in order to make chaos. That's the intelligence services in the United States and the West.
Yes.
Instead of calling for revolutions, let's call for example, Arab Spring. What's it called? How could you interpret this? I don't know. What does it mean, Spring? That means they have nothing to do with Palestine. With the Ikhwan in Egypt, there is nothing. With the Libyan, nothing.
Palestine is not even on the agenda.
No. It's even not a word. I have listened to one of the generals responsible about the security in Aleppo was talking to some channels, foreign channels.
Yes.
And saying, well, we have no problem with Israel. I was really struck by listening to this general in the Syrian army and with the opposition and leading the security in Aleppo. And yesterday, last night, Israel made...
Yes,
raided,
we will go
raided,
to that, yes. Yeah, we will go to that.
100
before,
more yes. than 100 raids.
Okay.
So we have to be really cautious
yes.
about what's happening. No judgments till now. But what has happened this last week or 10 days, I guess, one of the fallacies and mistakes of what so-called oppositions in the Arab world, because they have or they are mistaken in embodying the enemy in the regime at a time when the regime is defending Gaza and
okay.
the resistance. That's the revolution. The resistance is the revolution. The principle, the establishment, the foundations, the pillars of the resistance is in the resistance, in the resistance against the Israelis, not in toppling this regime or that. That's the issue we should start from.
Okay.
It's Palestine is the principle. Palestine is the spring of the problems in our region.
Okay. How do you interpret Al-Julani's decision to maintain state institutions and accepting the offer that was given by the Syrian Prime Minister Mohammed Ghazi Al-Jalali to support the transition to a new system? Of course, here the president of the Syrian National Coalition said that he took a risk and stayed, speaking about Mohammed Ghazi. But then he was comforted knowing that nobody will hurt him. And then he volunteered also to have a transitional plan, transition and organize transition in a different perspective. So how do you evaluate this decision made, unlike what was thought from a lot of international communities and of Syrians by themselves? Because at one point when they started taking Aleppo and Hama, people were petrified from this group. But then they came up with a different agenda to calm down the situation.
That's true. That's the orientations. That supports my argument that their goal, the Erdogan's goal, the Israelis' goal, the Americans' goal, is President Bashar al-Assad. That's it. Because they left everything, the institutions, even the media, the TV, the radio broadcasting, everything stayed as it is. They want to, topple President Assad. That's their goal. What will happen next, and help the Israelis to come and take some parts. And then the chaos will come. Then the chaos will come. And I will not say or negate the idea and some opinions that would say, well, President Assad is coming back. After chaos, nobody will save Syria but President Assad. Not al-Julani, because he shows that he lacks the principles. He lacks the beginning or the idea of political scene. He was told that, well, we keep the institutions and the army, and everybody will be encouraged to stay at home, and nobody will be hurt, and we are keeping everything as is. Then what you have done? What have you done in order to make people feel that you are making change? What is the change?
So will the opposition?
Is the change against a person? Is the change against individuality, or semi-system, the presidency, and some of the ministers, or ideas? Ba'ath party. Is that your job, or your job to make a revolution in order to let people feel that justice, feeling secure about their economy, about their relationships against the Israel, not to intervene, not to invade, not to raid, not to kill? The Israelis are killing more than 110 raids on the infrastructure, military infrastructure. How can you go into a war against Israel? But actually, I would say again that they are not putting themselves in a place that they want to fight Israel.
Okay, but on the contrary,
they have toppled Bashar al-Assad, because Bashar al-Assad was ready at any time to be one of the fronts against Israel.
Okay, but how will the opposition nowadays govern Syria? Or there will be a transitional phase to hand over power to someone else, or they will be monitoring the entire scenario?
Unknown. That's unknown. They want to go to a conference. They
up till now, Mohammed, the prime minister, is in power.
Is still monitoring the institutions. Taking care of the ministry, taking care of the prime minister, and the ministers will
continue to function.
Function at the minimum level.
Okay.
Just to take care of the
institution.
That's the problem. That's their problem. The Turks and the Russians, and also the Americans, they have consulted. They want to go to negotiations. They want to go to a conference in order to bring up all the oppositions and probably the army in order to reshape. How are you going to do so?
Yes.
I don't know. How these people, are they able to take care of Syria as a state? How could they bring, for example, the Kurds in order to negotiate with the Turks? The Kurds with the Turks.
Yeah, that's another
they
dilemma.
They are enemies. There are wars against each other. And also how these factions, probably 10 or 12 factions, who will rule? What kind of philosophy? What kind of culture, political culture? What kind of policies they'll take with, for example, with Iraq, with Iran, with Russia, with NATO or West, or the Americans?
Yes.
Are they really Muslims proposing the Daesh or the Wahhabis or the Wahhabis? What are they
doing?
We'll
speak about the foreign policy, but first of all, I wanted to say to understand the Russians, because the Russian granted the Assad family asylum on humanitarian grounds. Would this keep Russians under international pressure, especially from the Syrian opposition, because of this move?
Well, I guess the Russians want to come with appeasement, with facilitating the way for the Turks in order to pave the way for new talks with the Americans about Ukraine. Some people would analyze, would say, well, the Russians will take in Ukraine what they have given in Syria. and they will withdraw or will keep some military bases in Tartus or in Ladiqiya. We still don't know what are the acts or points of the agreement or the deal between the Turks and the Russians. Of course, the Iranians would hate to see President Assad toppled, because he was sincere and loyal to the axis of resistance and to Palestine. That's the issue. Well, you see Iran. Iran always with Palestine, with the resistance, with justice, against oppression, against oppressors, against the great Satan, against the hegemony of, yes, the United States, also against the occupation of Palestine. None of these articles will see in the future, even with these opposition parties, because Erdogan, their teacher, Erdogan, their master, their guru, Erdogan, would say, okay, Israel is Netanyahu is doing so and so and so. What are you doing, Erdogan? You are keeping the relationship, political relationship, with the Israelis. You are keeping the relationship with the Americans, in spite they are doing massacres against the Palestinians.
Yes.
You are trading Palestine and the Gazans. You are doing such things, such bad things, and now you topple or you invade. You invade. Well, the invasion is not from the Syrian opposition. The invasion is a Turks
for
Turks
what reasons,
invasion.
Dr. Mohsen?
Because there are many races,
what
many
will they
nationalities.
Benefit?
Tajik is there, Afghans, Shirian is there, Turks are there. There are many nationalities. They are fighting to topple President Assad. Okay, take Syria, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you helping Israel? Are you helping the Americans against your, what's so called, you claim, you pretend that you are protecting Islam and the Ottoman Empire and so on? Well, in the history, some would say, well, the Ottoman Empire did not sell Palestine. What are you doing? You are selling Palestine. You are selling Hamas, the Ikhwan. You have a common culture. You have common doctrine, Ikhwan, Muslim,
yes,
Brotherhood.
Yes.
So what are you doing? So you are killing your friends in order just to satiate your power, to satiate your ego. That's not a political work. That's not, if you wanna do help,
yes,
Palestinians,
yes,
you would say to Bashar al-Assad, okay, we are with you in order to liberate Palestine, in order to give the Palestinians their rights. Look, at least ask for. Well, look, now there is a legislative agreed in the Congress saying it changed the West Bank word to Yehuda Usamra.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yes.
What are you? Where are you taking this nation? You say about the Islamic nation. I was, where are you taking it?
Despite
you are taking
the fact
it to Abbas. You
was,
are taking to fire, to,
yes,
hell.
Yes. Dr. Mohsen Saleh, President of the International Association of Political Experts, thank you very much for being with us. And of course, with the coming days, we'll have a wider vision and a clearer vision of how things will escalate inside Syria. Thank you very
sure.
much for joining
thank
us.
You.
Our time is up. We will be here with more political updates. Stay tuned.
Faqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant practice.
Imamat yek asl zinda ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat
is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by famous Iranian Shiite orator and lecturer Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
شیطان مهمترین جایی رو که مورد هدف قرار میده در آخر الزمان.
The cursed Satan attacks the foundation of family and family bonds inside a society. His reason for this action is that the family is the most important place for the nurture and education of a child. If the family breaks up, then there will be no man or woman for serving the religion of God.
باز اینو من اشاره کردم که در روایات ما از آسیب‌های آخر الزمان وقتی گفته شده.
Now, in our narrations, we can see that when the world is getting close to its end, some signs show up. Among these signs, some are directly related to the family. For instance, the rate of divorce will increase. The family relations will be cut. The minors will no more respect the elder ones. The parents will curse their children very often. These all will lead to the weakness of the family. In such a situation, if the family relations and bonds become weak and feeble, then the members of the family will be separated and will fall into the trap of Satan. This is exactly what happened to the family foundation and family bonds in the Western world. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanillah.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio. in the limelight.
Although the Zionist regime's genocide of Palestinians has not stopped, demonstrators are ramping up pressure on governments and providing hope to the oppressed. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, over the past year, a remarkable surge of solidarity for Palestine has swept across Britain, with millions of people flooding the streets in scores of protest. This collective outcry against the Israeli regime atrocities has drawn attention worldwide, but a critical question lingers. Has it made a difference? At first glance, the ongoing Israeli assault on Gaza, now in its second year, suggests otherwise. From this perspective, one might be tempted to dismiss the protest as futile background noise. Yet, such a conclusion fails to account for their role in undermining the very levers that enable genocide, including political will, media representation, public opinion, and economic systems. At their core, protests offer a profound and unequivocal message, not in our name. Regardless of whether they hold violence, they register citizens' refusal to be complicit with the governments in the horrendous atrocities being committed in Gaza. These protests have achieved more than mere moral declarations, bringing about tangible shifts in convincing ways. One of the most powerful aspects of the protest movement has been the sheer diversity of those taking part. Protests in Britain and around the world have drawn people of all ages, ethnicities, colors, and faiths who have united to seek justice and freedom for the Palestinian people. In this way, the protests offer a stark contrast to the forces of xenophobia, racism, and racial supremacy that underpin the Israeli apartheid regime and its supporters. Perhaps one of the most measurable impacts of these protests has been the shift in public opinion. In May 2023, around 23% of British people sympathized with the Palestinians. A more recent UK poll in May 2024 showed that more than half of respondents supported ending arms sales to Israel. More than two-thirds supported an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. And sympathy for Palestinians has increased to 31%. Protesters have also empowered diplomats and governments, particularly from the Global South, to resist pressure from the U.S. At the United Nations, nearly all nations defied the U.S. by voting for a ceasefire and humanitarian aid to Gaza. Diplomats from dozens of countries walked out when the Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu took the podium, sending a powerful message of defiance. Amid the ongoing public protests, other important developments have taken place. South Africa filed a case at the International Court of Justice accusing Israel of committing genocide, while the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court filed an application for arrest warrants for Netanyahu and his former war minister, Yoav Gallant. An increasing number of countries have opted to recall diplomats or cut ties with the Zionist regime, including Chile, Colombia, Chad, and Turkey. Among others, arms sales to Israel have also been halted or restricted in some countries, such as Canada, Italy, Spain, and Belgium. On Britain's domestic political landscape, protests have had a notable impact. In the summer election, several independent candidates ran on the issue of Gaza and defeated veteran politicians as Prime Minister Keir Starmer's position on the Zionist regime has increasingly alienated the nation. A recent YouGov poll found that 44% of Labour voters sympathised more with Palestinians than with Israelis, while only 10% were more sympathetic to Israelis. Thus, when Starmer asserts that the UK stands with Israel, he stands increasingly alone, out of touch with the nation and with Labour Party supporters. The ongoing protests have also pushed Western-centric newsrooms and social media platforms criticized for their biased coverage to confront the realities on the ground, rather than simply bearing all the horrific atrocities being committed by the Zionist regime forces against Palestinians. At the same time, activism over Gaza has bolstered the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement, BDS movement, as the Zionist regime experienced the biggest economic slowdown among countries in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in the period from April to June. The war has made the Zionist regime an economic pariah. Thousands of businesses have closed, and major multinational companies operating in Israel have felt the pressure. Above all, protests have given the occupied, besieged and bombed Palestinian people something far more important: hope. The protest movement has shown them that they are supported in their fight to resist oppression, pursue justice, work towards liberation, and reclaim their dignity. The last year has proved that the power of protest is real. They can inspire populations, challenge war criminals, expose Israeli inhumanity, and provide hope to the oppressed. Let no one tell you that this movement is irrelevant.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and a very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. This is your host Zainab. In this program, we discuss the most challenging topics about Islamic upbringing that are useful for both parents as well as teenagers or the children themselves. Answers are rooted in the Holy Book of Quran, the narrations from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and also the traditions from noble imams. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon them. Well, today we again have the pleasure to be with Brother Liaquat. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
Brother Liaquat is a research scholar in the House of Ilmi of Qom. He's pursuing his psychology as well, and as well as the religious studies. And we have this pleasure to bring for you the answers that are both related from psychological perspective as well as the religion of Islam. We have been deriving lessons from the lives of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and we're talking about justice and equality in the previous episode, and today we're going to talk about a new lesson. Brother Liaquat is here with us. So Brother Liaquat, assalamu alaikum.
Alayhim as-salam, sister.
What is the next lesson that you're going to explore today?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So unity and brotherhood, which is very, very important in the religion of Islam, as we see from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, and Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam's brotherhood with the poor. So the Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen lived a very simple and a humble life, as we know. Yeah, despite being the caliph and the leader of the Muslims.
Right.
So when he would walk in the streets, it is difficult to recognize that he is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is example. He's the caliph of the time.
Right.
He's the Imam. He's Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Yeah. So people would fail to recognize him. Okay. So. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was known for his close relationship with the poor and the unprivileged. He would always consider himself as a brother to them. Okay. So basically, if we see this, this is not something which is taught in our societies today. This is not something which is practiced in our societies today. When we see someone, a poor, coming into the masjid, we normally try to make ourselves away from that person. We try to go away from that person.
Maintain those societal,
kind of distance,
so-called societal
everything.
Classes.
Exactly, yeah. We see him as a lowly person. This person is lower than us.
Right.
This concept is a very wrong concept and should be removed. It's a kind of virus in our mind. Should be removed from our heads and minds.
Right.
Especially when it comes to teenagers. Why?
Right.
Because they are still fresh. They are still learning. And when it is taught to them that, you know what, this kind of thought is a very wrong thought,
right.
Okay? This kind of thought in our minds can't be tolerated by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam.
Right.
If we see, a person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet was with a poor person.
Right.
When he sits beside the poor, his abba touched the abba or the clothes of the poor person. So what this person was rich, mm-hmm. was like, what he does was he kind of grabs his abba, his cloth, and he brings it closer to him. And
should not touch them.
Yeah, that it shouldn't touch the poor person. Rasulullah was observing this incident. He was like, why did you do this? So the person was like, the rich person was like, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean? I saw you bringing your clothes together and closer to yourself and away from the poor person. The person was stunned. Then the Prophet was like, is it that you think that if your clothes touch his clothes, your wealth is going to be transferred to his? He was like, no, this is not going to happen. Is it that you're thinking that his poverty is going to
affect you,
is going to strike you? You're going to become poor because of your clothes touching his clothes? He was like, no. Then why did you do this? So he starts to cry and he was like, Ya Rasulullah, I seek forgiveness from you and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He was ashamed.
Uh-huh, he was really ashamed, yeah.
Right. Well, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman. Don't give in to shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor. Allahu Rahim. Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsin. سينين وخالقنا وراسقنا وهو على كل شيء قدير.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We're talking about the concept of unity and brotherhood and how teens can learn from the lessons of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Yes, brother.
Then I would say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like, then why are you doing this? He was like, Ya Rasulullah, I'm so sorry. I'm ashamed near you. I'm ashamed near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm also ashamed near this poor person. So what I would do is I'm going to write half of my wealth to this poor person. And the poor person was like, no, don't give me half of your wealth just because of this deed. The person was like, why don't you want my wealth? Then the poor person says something very, very interesting. He says that, I don't want to become like you because of having wealth. If the behavior of a person is going to change, then I don't want your wealth. And one day, lest I don't want myself to bring my clothes closer to me and away from another poor person.
Mm-hmm.
So Rasulullah, on the other hand, was seeing this and he wanted to create a society filled with unity.
Indeed.
When it comes to a rich and a poor, or any other person example, of course, when it comes to society, there are different levels of people we see. Yeah. So everyone are united near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
When it comes to the religion of Islam, when it comes to the concept of brotherhood, each one of us are brothers to each other. This is the concept which is taught by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam to us. So we also see Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam's unity with the Muslim community.
Right.
So the Imam Hussein alayhi salam stressed the importance of unity among the Muslim community. He encouraged the Muslims to come together and stand against injustice rather than dividing themselves into different factions and sects.
Right.
So he would invite, like, he invited almost the whole of Medina, against injustice, like, which was happening when Imam was going when he started towards Kufa.
Right.
Okay. He invited everyone, regardless what kind of faith or what kind of belief system they had. Of course, they all believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. And at the end of the day, this is something strange. We also see that there were people who were Christian, like Wahab Kalbi and his family, example.
Okay.
They accepted Islam, and Zuhair was the Usmani.
Right.
Zuhair, who was the left-wing commander of Imam Hussein al-Islam. The right-wing commander was Habib, Habib ibn Mazahir, salawatullahi alayhi. And the left-wing commander of Imam's army was Zuhair.
Right.
And imagine, Zuhair was someone who accepted the thought of Usmani. So they were the third caliph, Usman, right? So he was called Usmani. And at the end of the day, when he saw the Imam and his connection and the way he spoke, everything, he became completely the lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam.
Right.
And he became one of the martyrs of Karbala, you see. So Imam would definitely, he would want the community to be united. And he would definitely not tolerate to be divided amongst ourselves, the community, the Muslim community, dividing amongst themselves. And of course, unfortunately, what we see in today's world, I would say the Shia communities are divided amongst one another. Oh, you know what? This is from this Hayat. Oh, this is from this group. This is from this Imam Barga, or this is from this Ashur Khan or Imam Barga, or this Husseiniya, or stuff like that. So we are not going to go into that Husseiniya. Why? Because we don't belong to that Husseiniya. Example, there are a number of issues going on.
Unfortunately, the division, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, we'll discuss more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Sure. Stay tuned.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat.
Regarding the saying of Allah the Exalted, U anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, save yourselves and your family from a fire. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, teach yourselves and your family righteousness.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat is here with me and we are discussing unity and brotherhood. So yeah, brother, you were saying that, unfortunately today we have a society wherein one community that was known for its unity seems to be divided, and this has lessons for teenagers today, who are the changers of the nation, who are the builders of the nation. Perfect. Who can build a nation on the basis of unity and brotherhood.
Yes, sister. So, example, if we see the life of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam as well, the Imam would bond with the community. If we see, after the event of Ashura, after the Shahadat of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Imam, the fourth Imam, came back to Medina, we see that there were many and many and many of those who didn't go with Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam.
Right.
Who didn't go hand in hand with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Yeah.
Right.
So, example, there were many who would suggest the Imam not to go. There were many who didn't help the Imam, of course, and stayed back in Medina. But when Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam went back to Medina, what he did was he didn't go against them. And he kind of bonded with the community of Medina.
Right.
This is something very strange. He could have been like, oh, you know what? You didn't support my father.
Mm-hmm.
Because of you not supporting my father, my mm-hmm. father was martyred on the plains of Karbala. You see?
Right.
He could have gone against them.
Right.
But we see the Imam bonding back again with the community. You
right.
see? This is very important. Very important.
Right.
And in today's world, as a teenager example, and as for those who are maintaining masajid and like masjids and I don't know, like Husseiniya and Ashur Khanas and stuff, I would say them to come closer, like unite with the other brethren, like within yourselves. You
right.
all are believers. You
right.
are like all of like kind of one blood, you see?
Right.
You have to be with one another. You have to have the sense of brotherhood amongst yourself.
Right.
So this is one topic, what we see. And the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, would show no distinction between themselves and the Muslim community, because the Ahlul Bayt are from the family of Rasulullah, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would not distinguish themselves like, oh, you know what, I am the son of the Prophet, so you all come near me and kiss my hand and stuff like that. No,
mm-hmm.
they would go commonly and like, I am united with you, you are like me, I am like you, example.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the maqam, the status of Ahlul Bayt is always there. And
right.
for those people who understand the status of Imam, example, they would definitely, like, they would come, they would show their complete respect to the Imam, okay? But if someone didn't show their respect or, like, the utmost respect which should be shown to the Imam,
right.
of course, the Imam would not want it.
Right.
Like, oh, you know what? I want that respect which has to be shown.
Right.
But example, if the Imam would come in front of me, example, I would definitely fall to his feet, you
right.
see? But if someone, like, example, I'm just telling you, if someone didn't fall to his feet, the Imam wouldn't question him back, okay?
Why didn't you do
Why
this
didn't you do that,
thing?
Example?
And okay. there's also a hadith that if someone comes into a community and says that these people didn't stand in my respect and this is the kind of worst kind of person and he's disliked.
Mm-hmm.
So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the capability to be down to earth to
Inshallah.
Maintain that unity and brotherhood.
Inshallah.
Thank you for being with us. Thank you, dear listeners.
Thank you.
You are listening to IRIB English Radio.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
With my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. And you, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms. I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you. You of my roots, Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Sit summer deep inside my aching heart, summer deep inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots me here, this land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel for seizing Syrian land and continuing its aggression against the Arab country in violation of international law and the UN Charter. Iran condemns militant attacks on its diplomatic and consular premises in Syria, urging necessary measures by the UN to prevent the recurrence of such incidents. And the death toll from Israel's genocide in Gaza surpasses 44,700 as the regime's unrelenting strikes kill more civilians across the besieged territory. Welcome to World News. Israeli military is pressing ahead with its aggression against Syria, targeting several positions.